according to John.
Glory to you.
Jesus came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of land that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from his journey, sat down there at the well. It was about noon. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone into town to buy some food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How can you, a Jew, ask me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? For Jews use nothing in common with the Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you do not even have a bucket, and the cistern is deep. Where then can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the cistern and drank from it with his children and his flock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I shall give will never thirst. The water I shall give will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may not be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water. I can see you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but your people say that the place to worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Believe me, woman, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You people worship what you do not understand. We worship what we understand because salvation comes from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. And indeed, the Father seeks such people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, the one called the Christ. When he comes, he will tell us everything." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking with you." Many of the Samaritans of that town began to believe in him. When the Samaritans came to him, they invited him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more began to believe in him because of his word, and they said to the woman, "We no longer believe because of your word, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that it is truly the Savior of the world."
Good morning. Peace be with you. Thank you. Is God in our midst or not? Is God in our midst or not? When we're taken out of our comfort zone, when even when our lives aren't perfect, but yet we are satisfied with them for all the basic needs are covered, and we're taken away from that, when other things begin to draw on our minds and our hearts, and anxiety is high, when we can't obtain the things that we want, and we're troubled, it becomes a very legitimate question that people ask: is God in our midst or not? Before we answer that question, we have to ask ourselves, in our comfort zone, where is God? Because that answers the question that we know that God never moves. He's always present to us. But if we do not feel his presence, then where have we strayed to ask such a question? And it is when these things happen to people, when it happens to whole communities of people, they begin to question that reality of God's presence, his loving abiding presence in our midst. And that's what's happening, right? In the first reading. The people of Israel, their lives weren't perfect. They were actually slaves in Egypt. And now they're wandering in a desert without water. And now they're beginning to question, geez, at least when we were slaves, we had everything that made us comfortable. But here, where is God here in the midst of this desert? Where is his presence? Why has he left us? The theme of water that we see in the readings today, first and foremost, should show us how important water was in the time of Jesus. Important for the people who lived in the desert. The water was so important. It was as important as for us today toilet paper is. We just seem we can't live without it. I'm going to be handing out toilet paper at the end of Mass. By the roll, not by the piece. So. But that's the reality for these people. That was what they were missing. They were missing the reality of what they needed the most to be refreshed, to be able to live their lives. So now we move to the gospel, and we see Jesus using the same concept of the importance of water. There's a well there from Jacob, a well that all his ancestors had counted on to be replenished by. It was a sign of God being in their presence, that very well given to them and their people. And God allows us to realize through these kinds of things that he has not abandoned us. So the woman that comes to the well, she comes at noon, a strange hour to come to draw water, the hottest part of the day. Most people would come early in the morning and gather the water that they needed for their flocks and for their families. But this woman comes at high noon. And the reason she does is that she wants to avoid contact with any person. She doesn't want to be seen because her life is a scandal and a gossip conversation for others. In the long version of the gospel, we hear that the woman has been married 5 times and the man that she's living with is not her husband. But isn't that where Jesus meets us? He meets us at our high noon. He meets us in the place where we're most vulnerable. He meets us in the place of our sins. And when we want to avoid everyone else, he is in our midst. The conversation he has is an interesting one because he says to the woman, "Give me a drink." And of course, she responds in the conversation, "Wait a minute, you would never ask me for a drink. What are you asking me for a drink for?" But what Jesus was really saying to her was, "I thirst." The very same words he said upon the cross, right before he offered himself in death. "I thirst for you, for your life." He thirsts for my life, especially in those moments that we're most vulnerable, especially in those moments of our sins, especially when we're even questioning, is God present to us? And of course, the conversation moves to the understanding that the life-giving water is the waters of our baptism. It is the waters that flow forth from the church. That's why the rock in the desert, when struck upon, water flowed forth, because Jesus said to Peter, "You're my rock, and upon you all will flow forth truth and spirit," as Jesus says. So when Jesus begins to speak about life-living water, in the same breath that he speaks from the cross, "I thirst for you," his side is pierced and water pours forth to give life. The woman in the conversation comes to begin to believe that he's a prophet and then eventually the Messiah, putting aside all the other concerns other than what Jesus could be for her, a gift, a refreshing gift of his love in her brokenness at high noon, eternally in heaven. So what should be our mission this week? I think our mission should be to recognize that we have all been taken out of our comfort zone through this pandemic. We've been moved away from our lives that weren't perfect to start with, but they were far more comfortable than they are now. But instead of asking the question, is God in our midst? Our mission should be, yes, God is in our midst. And so necessary for us to call upon him, to continue to give us what we need so that panic and anxiety doesn't overcome us. Secondly, our mission should be is that Jesus does come to us at high noon. He comes to our weakest time. He comes to us when we need him the most. He comes to us in our anxieties and our sinfulness, and he wants us to give him and fulfill his thirst with our love, with our lives, with our trust. And in return, he gives all that he has. St. Paul tells the Romans, he loved us so much that he died on the cross while we were still sinners. Because that's the depth of how he wants to feed off of us as we thirst for him. So when you come forward to receive our Lord in the Eucharist, when you return to your place, hear him saying, I thirst for you. And give him yourself. For he has just fed you on him, his own body, his own blood. And ask him to renew within you that spirit of that life-giving water, of your baptism, so that the mission that you live out is proclaiming always by your life, yes, God is in our midst. He is with us here, and he calls us to the fullness of life in his resurrection.